The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, on the other side of the glass. We keep him on the other side. No, he's just on the other side of the glass. That's where he engineers and produces our show on this August the 16th, Thursday afternoon. Hope the week has gone very well for you. We're going to talk about transportation during the first half hour of the program today, and then we'll talk with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham in the second half hour, talking specifically to get the ball rolling about that parks bond measure that will be on the city ballot in November. But right now, let's welcome to the Buckmaster Show Anna Oliveras. Anna is the director of the Pima County Department of Transportation, which has nearly 300 employees in that department. Anna had been, for over a decade, the deputy director under her predecessor, Priscilla Cornelio. Priscilla retired, and so Anna is now in charge, and we're delighted to have her on the program. Anna, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Tell me a little bit about your assessment right now of the condition of our Pima County roads.
Well, as it's been talked about all along for last year, our Pima County roads are in very near of repair. Our local roads, our collectors, our arterials are in better shape, but the majority of our local roads are in really need of repair.
And a big repair could be coming if voters say yes to a $430 million bond measure that will be on the ballot in November. This, needless to say, would give you a tremendous boost, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. The $430 million proposition is Proposition 463, would make a big dent in our needs, and not just in unincorporated Pima County, but this bond is for the entire region, which would include the local jurisdictions and unincorporated Pima County. So it will make a big dent for all of our roads here.
Let's talk about what is going on currently and some of your big projects, because you are certainly not waiting around to see the outcome of that proposition, because there's a lot of road work that is going on in the area. Let's talk about some of kind of the marquee road jobs that you have currently in progress and are ready to begin.
So let's talk about, you want to talk about the capital
sure.
projects?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we have some active capital improvement projects, and those are a couple of those are still left over from the 97 bond program. That's Cortero, and we are widening Cortero. I like to call that the missing link. Cortero and McGee, we widened McGee all the way to Oracle, and now we're doing the repair from Camino de Oeste to Thornydale. So that should be done by the end of the year. Another segment, we are doing a project, Thornydale Road, from Cortero North to the town limits. We are going to repair that roadway and add a shoulders to that roadway. And that should also be done by the end of November. And we're about to start another big project on the Valencia West. That is an RTA project, and it will tie into what we finished a few years ago. So it goes from Mark to Ajo. And it will just mirror what's there at the end of Mark, which is a two-lane divided roadway all the way to Ajo, which will tie into ADOT's newest project. They are doing Ajo, State Route 86 Ajo. So that new connection will be there with them. So,
that's a big job.
That is a big job. We are excited about that.
Carl has called us, Carl calling us at 790-2040, and he would like to ask a question, Anna, about monies from this bond measure, about whether or not they'll actually go to roads. So go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, I mean, as a voter in Pima County, I'm very leery about the way road money or money, period, has been spent. And so what kind of guarantees do I, as a voter, have that if we approve this bond issue, that the money will go strictly to roads and not get swept into something like buying greenlands or into parks or into bikeways or something of that nature.
Okay, thank you, Carl. Go ahead, Anna.
So, Carl, let me answer that. We are the proposition. We were doing an ordinance, and in the ordinance, it's being written that specifically this money goes to the roads and the road repair. And there's a plan in the ordinance, which will be going to the Board of Supervisors soon. And we've asked for the local jurisdictions before the money is distributed to them. We've also asked them for a road plan. And these roads will be discussed and decided with our Transportation Advisory Committee. And then these roads every year will then also be going to the Board of Supervisors for approval. And everything that's been written and everything that's been planned is just for road repair.
And there will be transparency. There will be oversight, correct, Anna?
Correct. There's oversight. There's transparency. And there'll be annual reports about which roads have been done and what how much money has been spent on those roads.
Let's talk a little bit about pavement repair. This is always a huge issue, especially during our summer thunderstorm season. What do we have going on in that area?
So monsoon always brings out even more potholes on our failed roadways. So we have our crews on call during monsoon time. Their first priority, of course, is to do the storm cleanup. They need to, if there's a debris in the roadway, if once the water recedes, they need to go out there and open up the roadways. That's our first storm cleanup response. As soon as the storms die down a little, our pothole crews will be out there patching the potholes on the roadway. And if residents want to report one, please call our number. It's area code 520-724-6410 to report a pothole and actually to report any other issues you have. We have consolidated all our reporting into one phone number.
So again, that is 724-6410. If anyone has really any issues with the roads, they can call that number. It's sort of a central clearinghouse number, correct?
It is, yes.
So we do have some money for pavement preservation.
Yes, we did. So if you remember, last year the Board of Supervisors approved a 25-cent property tax for local road repair. And we established some roadways through our Transportation Advisory Committee. That was also for unincorporated Pima County and the local jurisdictions. So they submitted their roads, they were approved, and we've been working on that local road. That property tax generated about $19 million per year, distributed amongst us and the local jurisdictions. Pima County got about 7.9. So we have been working on that. Local roads are being worked on as we speak. We are also finishing up. We had accumulated or found $6 million to do arterial and collector road repair.
Was that under the cushion?
We wish. We've shaken everybody we can at the office to get the change out.
There you go. You're a civil engineer. Has your business changed a lot as far as this repairing potholes? Is the business pretty much the same as it was, or have the materials improved, the composite materials that make things a little better?
So, you know, pothole patching with asphalt hasn't really changed that much throughout the years. The binders have improved, but the crushing of aggregate is still the crushing of aggregate. The mixing in the machines is still pretty much the same. And to put the asphalt in the pothole is still pretty much the same. You clean the pothole of debris, you put some tack, and you put the asphalt in, and you roll it over to patch it.
Almost like filling a cavity at the dentist,
right?
Clean
much.
Out the tooth and do your repair and then fill it.
And very similar.
Yeah.
Yes, very similar. So that mechanism, there's equipment, of course, and we're always looking at equipment to do. There's trucks out there that say you can, one man drives it and you can patch a pothole. Those are expensive initial outlays, so we're looking to see if that's any beneficial to us in what we currently do, which is have a truck full of asphalt and put it on the road.
But usually a repair will hold up hopefully a couple of years, right?
Well, so a pothole patch.
In theory, right.
Yeah, a pothole patch will hold up for a good while. If it rains, of course, it makes it much more difficult. Part of our pavement preservation is to do seal coats. So before a road gets to fail, we like to treat it. A fog seal or a chip seal, or what we've been doing a lot is microsurfacing, which is a very small aggregate and oil coat mm-hmm. on top of the roadway. Mm-hmm. So those treatments are a lot better. They last, 5 to 8 years on that. So ideally, and before you put those, of course, you have to do the crack sealing and patch any potholes, and then you put that layer. So ideally, we would like to be doing that to any road that we do. As you know, most of the funding in the last years has gone to congestion relief mm-hmm. for the big projects like Cortero and Valencia that we talked about earlier.
Tariffs on steel going up. Have you already seen a change with some of the bids that are coming in, Anna?
We have seen our prices go up a little bit since that happened for some of our projects that we bid. And the other is labor shortage. So we have a labor shortage in the area at the moment.
Anna Oliveras, the director of the Pima County Department of Transportation. Anna, thank you for the update. Appreciate it very much.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
All right. Let's tell our listeners, Anna, about my favorite bakery in town. Do you like bakery goods?
I do. Too much.
That's what everybody says. My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Oh, those are so good. Mmm. And their croissants are really to die for, too.
See, too bad we don't have a sample.
I know. I wish we did. a northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, owner Steve gets up real early, as you can imagine, with his team of bakers. The bread that is being served right now up at Mona's for their lunch on the sandwiches. Oh, my. It's so good. Just came out of the oven a couple of hours ago. And I usually have a brownie when I go up there and have a sandwich for dessert. I love their brownies. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There you will find a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of the great sponsors and partners that make our program possible. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday during the noon hour, our Friday Focus interview is with F.N. Rodriguez. F.N. Rodriguez is the Pima County Recorder. We will talk about all of the things folks need to know as we get ready for the run-up to the primary election. Also, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com, Jim Nintzel, the Tucson Weekly with me, Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business has Weekend Watch on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing toward 1220 on this Thursday afternoon on AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening, KVOI.com, and of course, my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Back in May of 2006, area voters approved a 20-year regional transportation plan. Well, the RTA recently formed a new 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee to get started on the development of the next plan. That would be the RTA Continuation Plan. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line is Rick Myers. Mr. Myers was the co-chair of the original RTA Citizens Committee, which was formed in advance of that vote back in May of 2006. Rick Myers is also a member of the Arizona Board of Regents, whose term, Rick, I believe your six-year term ends the end of this year. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it's my eight-year term, but yes.
Or, excuse me, your eight-year term.
Time flies.
Oh, my goodness, that's right, eight-year term. Anyway, Rick, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about your experience. When did that, the vote was May of 2006, so how far in advance did your group get up and running?
And we actually got up and running in 2004. We got the legislature to unsunset a bill that allowed us to have a taxing transportation authority called the RTA here in Tucson. Maricopa County had actually passed their first transportation election in 1984, and they re-upped theirs for another 20 years in 2004. So I think it prompted a lot of us down here in Tucson to say, if they can do it up here, up there, we ought to be able to do something here. We formed a 35-person committee, people from all walks of life, all diversity. We had a technical committee working with our five local governments, our Indian nations, our county, as well as our ADOT rep. And we spent two hard years putting a plan together. We went out and we did 36 major town halls. We did 150 community presentations, and we did three iterations of the plan to finally come up with something that we felt we could take to the voters to support the plan and support that fourth plan. So I'm excited that 12, 13 years into that program, we already have a new committee coming together looking at what do we need to do next and what's going to happen as this plan starts to wind down. Certainly our needs aren't winding down, so we need to plan for that future.
Yeah, it was a huge process. I didn't, you know, reflecting now on this, Rick, I do recall there were a bunch of these town halls, and before you even got to the town hall stage, you had pretty much everything was on the table. Is that correct? I mean, in the initial, when you first sat down, what was that like?
Well, you know, we did have, after 2 years of work, after about 18 months of work, we had an initial plan we took to the public. We had feedback, and then we came back, we met again. All of the meetings we had were open to the public. But as we went out and we gathered that information, I'll tell you one great example. The last thing to make it into the plan was the extension of Sabino Canyon Road to Kolb Road. And it was because we were doing a town hall on the east side, and so many people showed up and said, there's too much congestion on Tanque Verde, and you need to do something about it if you're going to do this plan. And we went back and talked about it. We worked with the technical committee. You know, that road opened up here about a year ago, and it's very heavily used, and it made a major difference in that congestion. So I use that as one example of an open process, a process that listens to people, a process that takes its time to do it right and gather input across our region. And I'm just so proud of the group and how we did that. And I'm glad they're getting started early now, because they want to do that same thing again. They want to gather input. They want to test it with the community. They want to make sure when this goes to an election that people understand it and people support it.
You mentioned coal. What were some of the, were there some other items that didn't make it that were sort of last minute decisions? Yeah.
Well, there are, you know, when you think about this plan, you know, one thing everyone should understand is there's a lot that goes into infrastructure and transportation, and it seems to never be enough. But part of the gas tax pays for new roads and maintenance, part of many different taxes that we pay. So there are billions of dollars a year spent. But even with all that, I don't think any of us are as happy that our roads are where they need to be, both in terms of capacity and in terms of maintenance. And what the RTA did was give us an extra $2 billion over a 20-year period that we could do critical things that may not have made it into the base plan because it just wasn't enough money. And, you know, Dendering Road just got widened up in the northwest. Towton Road has had widenings. There are critical wildlife linkages. If you drive up on North Oracle, you'll see there's a bridge, and the bridge is for animals. You know, I have some people say to me, why did you go do that? Well, there's a lot of people in this community that care about the safety of the animals, and we had strong support from the environmental community. We had extended bus service in the evenings paid for by the RTA that helped so many people that work second shift jobs get home from work. Modern streetcar, which has been critical to Rio Nuevo and the revitalization of downtown, was partly funded by the RTA. So the intent of this plan is to be a multifaceted plan: bike paths, greenways, road work, maintenance. The first plan, we weren't allowed to do maintenance because the way the bill was set up with the legislature, it was only for new capacity. And I know this time they're looking at expanding that so we can do critical maintenance as well as new capacity.
I have kind of a basic question I have wondered about. Were you limited to, why was it a 20-year plan? Why was that something that the legislature said it had to be 20 or what?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, at the time, Cy Shore and Steve Huffman was in the legislature. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that really spearheaded the work. And the legislature said, you know, there are a lot of people in the legislature who feel that we don't even want to give people the right to go vote for a tax increase because they're so against that. And so what they basically did is they took a law that had been in place that had sunsetted because we never took advantage of it, and they convinced the legislature to say, give us a second chance. Maricopa just did. If you're going to let Maricopa County do that, give us, you know, let us have the same rules, give us the same opportunity, and see if we can do the job with our people to get it done. And they were able to convince the legislature to do that.
You are not a member of this new 35 member advisory board, but what advice do you have to the members who actually have already had their first meeting?
Yeah, my advice is hold on tight. It's going to be an interesting process.
What was that, Rick?
Hold on tight.
Hold on tight, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there are those 7 members of our original 35 are in this new 35. And I think that'll be great to carry forth some of the institutional knowledge. One thing this group really learned is, and I said in my office last week, you know, there's nothing we can't do when we do it together and we do it for each other. And that's what this group did. We recognized this isn't about roadways. It's not about transit. It's not about critical wildlife linkages or bikeways. It's about all that because all of us live in this community. And we created a plan that had substance in it for everyone so everyone could get behind it. And it was the first plan that we passed in this community region-wide in forever. There have been five failed elections in the 20 years up to the RTA. So I think when you do it right, when you respect the different constituencies who live here and what their desires are, and you put a plan together that fairly reflects those priorities and gives everyone something that matters, you'll get people's support. And that's what we should be doing as a community. We should together be building a better community that we all want.
Now, the continuation plan, will that be 20 years, or is that yet to be determined, the time on that?
Right now, I think that's the belief. Again, we're going to need to work with the legislature and get everything in place to do this again. Maricopa County is going to be doing it again up there. I anticipate that it'll be basically the same rules we had the last time, but you never know. So I think getting an early start is important, because if some of the rules change or other things come into effect in terms of state funding and the gas tax and everything else, they'll be able to take all of that into account.
Okay.
The new plan will reflect needs at the time.
All right, Rick, we're going to let you go. And you are the CEO of Tempronics. What is that? What is that?
It is a fantastic technology company. We're working on being a supplier to automotive. We're funded out of venture capital in San Francisco, and we have a great number of U of A brilliant engineers working for us, making us successful.
Okay, come back on the show, and we'll talk just about that. Sounds interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Bill.
A lot. Rick Myers with us on the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:30. If all goes well, and we sure hope it will, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, representing Ward 2, will be our guest when we come back from the break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Experience the new era of Arizona football. New coach Kevin Sumlin. Lower season and individual game ticket pricing. New stadium amenities and concession options. More pride of Arizona and a new stadium announcer. Plus, explosive plays on the field that will create lots more fireworks. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB for tickets or call 621-CATS. That's ArizonaWildcats.com/FB or 520-621-CATS.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies, as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive over there, and it is a beautiful portion of southwest New Mexico, especially this year at the as we get ready to wind down our summer thunderstorm season. Everything is greened up over in the Gila National Wilderness. You're going to have a great experience over there. Take my word for it. We send so many of our listeners over there. The starting place is their website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you find the complete listing of several dozen great places to stay and a like number amount of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now on the live line to the Ward 2 Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Paul Cunningham, who now is back in school, and we do appreciate him taking a few minutes away from his lunch hour. Councilman, how are you?
Very well, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
How is the school year going so far?
Well, I'd say that speaking from just a teaching standpoint, this is my fifth year of teaching, and I think that once you get settled in as a teacher, and you experience some growth, I think the years kind of help, and then you can school. It can definitely lighten the load, and you seem to bond better with the students and things of that nature. So right now, I'd say it's very positive. I'm really enjoying teaching this year.
What are you teaching? What course?
I teach eighth grade social studies.
Huh? Is there a little civics in there as well, or?
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons that I teach in a school out of the ward with a significant number of students that are out of the city limits. It wouldn't really be proper to teach in my ward where you're, you know, imagine that parent-teacher conference. Hey, I'm sorry I'm giving your kid a C or a D, but we'll get your road fixed. And you really can't blend the two too much, so I try to keep the two separate. I would be remiss to say that as a teacher, I didn't at least use some of the people, the personal relations I've developed over the years in the job I'm in, on the as possible as speakers. I wouldn't be really doing my job. It brings a little. I keep the two worlds separate.
It's our day, I think, for phone connection issues. Is your cell phone charged? It's kind of cutting.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but it was kind of cutting in and out. I don't know what's going on.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I want to ask you about that cute video that's posted on Facebook from the Tucson Police Department, kind of a lip sync thing, and it's kind of cute. You like it?
I think it's great. A lot of different police departments have been doing lip syncs. It's called the Lip Sync Challenge, and the law enforcement agencies around the country are doing it. We're trying to, I think the goal of them originally was to just do something fun and show that police have a sense of humor and that they're part of this community. We were fortunate to have a young man, Officer Smith, who actually made up his own lyrics and was actually an original song that has a great public safety message about some of the things that we're doing and about the patrol aspect of the city of Tucson. I think it's a tremendous, I think it's a great thing. We've kind of taken that to a new level, and I like that we're one of the few departments that just didn't do any old lip sync of some old song. So we actually wrote our own lyrics. So I think that's great. And I think TPD did a great job of participating in the lip sync challenge. And as far as all cities go, Tucson can definitely be proud of their police department's representation in it.
How do you think Chief Magnus is doing? He's kind of a controversial figure in the community. There, he has his detractors. How do you think he's doing?
Well, I think he's been very, as far as I'm seeing, and again, I can only go with what I see in front of me, he's been very responsive. He's been very responsive to our office. His police officers that work for him are some of the finest. I have not had a lot of feedback in confidence or in off-the-record feedback about him that was poor. I mean, I just haven't had it. I've actually looked for it. You know, I want some specifics, and I feel that there's a lot of officers that really have some confidence in him, and the ones who don't, they're not telling me. But that could change. I mean, you never know what happens. But for now, I think he's been very good. He stood up for his officers, and he actually was instrumental in ensuring that we had that a pay adjustment this year that would hopefully cut our attrition. And we'll see kind of what the results are. From what I understand, some of the officers who did leave the department have actually planned to come back. And so we'll see kind of what the results are come December and see how many sworn officers we have. But I'm optimistic that it's going well.
Let's talk a little bit about the parks issue. Some of the polling, Paul Cunningham, has been very positive in our community. The Star had a poll that shows people are favoring improving our parks.
Well, we've gotten lucky on a couple things. Number one is this doesn't represent a property tax rate increase. What we are doing, to be transparent, is we're passing on the opportunity for a decrease. When you vote for this, you're passing on an opportunity to decrease taxes, but you're not actually raising your taxes. That's actually a good thing. And then you got to ask, well, is the investment worth it? And I feel that it is. I think that with improved parks, the property value you get back, it basically balances out and pays for itself on passing on the decrease. Even more, you know, we have over $750 million in liabilities long-term in parks. And there's no end in sight. And if we let it go any farther, we're going to be in a situation where we're going to have to start closing parks at some point because we can't manage them all. This allows us to address a multitude of maintenance issues, and then it also helps us build some extra amenities. And I know what people have said, well, wait a minute. How are you going to be able to manage the amenities if you can't manage the parks now? Well, it's not that we can't manage the parks now. It's that the parks, through you know, 20, 30, 40 monsoon cycles, and through just long overuse because we have too much use in one park because we don't have enough parks, the maintenance issues just compile and compile and compile. Let me give you an example. Jesse Owens Park out east has 7 different youth leagues use it year-round. Hmm. Now, when I was a kid, the only people who used it were football, Little League, maybe the YMCA and AYSO. There were 4 groups that used it, and they were all seasonal. Now, youth baseball uses it at least 2 to 3 seasons a year. Football uses it 1 extended season a year. Soccer uses it year-round, basically every weekend. The smaller youth sports groups, USA and YMCA, use it for practice year-round. And all of a sudden, that just really works a park over. And we have a bunch of parks in that category. If we can add a couple of extra fields and add a couple of extra backstops, all of a sudden we can give some of those other fields a rest. Some of the maintenance issues don't arise as much. Even more, the long-term maintenance problems like irrigation systems that are 30 years old, ground that's been unleveled after 40 monsoon cycles gets leveled out. We'll even be able to conserve water. There are so many things. It's not just youth sports. I mean, I'm the youth sports guy, so I talk about this stuff, but we've got walking paths, we got dog parks, we have 7 pools that need to be replastered. One of the reasons we can't open all of our pools isn't because we don't have the personnel for them, is that they're in need of a makeover. And all capital items are always, you know, no one doesn't usually, again, I know there are people that keep their house exactly the same for 50 years, but usually you're going to have at least at one point after 20 years, you're going to remodel your kitchen or you're going to remodel this or you're going to remodel that. So that's all we're doing. We're just doing a big remodel. And this is the way we're going to pay for it. Most people take out a second mortgage, a mini mortgage, to do a big remodel. That's what this is. This is a big remodel. And for people who remember Tucson's parks in their heyday, this is a great thing because we were the gold standard for municipal parks from like 1975 to 1995. When Mr. Ronstadt was running it and Mr. Reed built it, we had all these incredible things happen in our park system. We had programs that no one else had. We had more pools and more services. Well, you know, when you're number one, you kind of can rest on your laurels for a while, but you kind of forget what all that stuff got you there. One of the things was, yes, we had more wading pools than anybody else in 1980. Well, that's great. In 1980, nobody has wading pools anymore. But you can convert them into splash pads for a couple hundred thousand dollars or less. And so let's convert them into splash pads because that's what kids want now and that's what families want now. And they're less of a drowning and less of a drowning hazard. They're less of a liability. They're easier to maintain. Let's go for it. And okay. So these are some of the things that this bond package has, and that's why I've been advocating for it.
All right. I want to take Matthew. Yeah, let's not make Matthew wait through the break. Go ahead, Matthew. You're with Paul Cunningham.
Yeah, Paul, is there two quick things. First, is there a way that you could look to what's that group called that handles the golf courses, OB or whatever,
and ask them, OB Sports.
Do they have a program for some of our bigger parks that potentially could include, you know, a way for us to basically get money out of them in concessions or some other program of management? Because I think this is with this bond package. I think this is a great opportunity to look for new revenue sources for the parks department. Second thing is there have been two big articles in the paper about it already. Is the city council going to look at why the Department of Water doesn't have fluoride in Tucson water? I think I know it's been an old issue that's gone back to the days of CAP, but I think we need to revisit.
Okay.
What's the future of that? Thank you, Bob.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. About the golf, can we hold on your answer on both of those? Because I need to take a break. Paul Cunningham, stick around. We'll address Matthew's question about golf and then fluoride in our water when we continue with Paul Cunningham. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. And speaking of green things, one of our fine sponsors, now home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America and some European goods as well. For a long time, Zocalo was housed over there near Country Club and Broadway. Well, they're now at Green Things, 3384 East River Road on their 13-acre site. So you do all your get your gardening needs taken care of and some great merchandise for your home. Check out greenthingsaz.com is their website. Now, back to Paul Cunningham, Ward 2, Democrat, Tucson City Council. So let's begin with Matthew's question about golf. Is golf involved at all? Is that part of the bonds portfolio?
Well, golf is getting a couple things, but it's mainly water and irrigation extensions that are connected to parks. The golf programs are actually designed to pay for itself. So the idea is that though there is some money, there's a very small amount of money going into on this bond package, going into some very minor capital improvements in golf. Mainly, those improvements are extensions of park improvements that the golf course happens to be next to. So we wanted to be very careful about that because golf is an enterprise fund. On the other side, Matthew makes a great point about how we want OB to be in the black and turning a profit, and there's lots of different opportunities. You go over through each one of them, and it ultimately started with just trying to improve the golf experience for people so that we could build a number of rounds, that we had a price point that, you know, it used to be that the municipal courses were generally the courses that were less prestigious and less expensive and anybody could play them. Well, that model's changed a little bit because you're usually managing five or six courses where there's always like a premier course in a municipal system. A good example would be San Diego Torrey Pines, where they the Scottsdale Muni, where that is part of a municipal system, but they charge a little bit more money because it's a higher it's considered a higher caliber golf experience. We're allowing OB Sports to use that model and try to build a golf experience that not only generates revenue within the enterprise from Tucsonans, but also gives people a reason to travel here. One thing you can't do with the golf enterprise is you cannot coach weather. You can't change the weather. And fortunately for us, Tucson is a place where basically 10 months out of the year you can play golf. And so people travel here to do that, especially in the winter. And I think that's what we're trying to build is that brand.
Let's leave parks for a moment. Matthew was concerned about fluoride in the water. Do you have any comment?
Well, I mean, it's definitely worth looking. I think that actual program is, my grandfather was a dentist. For you guys For those of you who have been around Tucson a long time, you might remember my grandfather, Bernard Fisher. He had his small office on 22nd there and at Craycroft, back when Craycroft and 22nd was out of town. And in the same building with my grandma, Judge Fisher, Lillian Fisher, law practice was in the same building for about 20 years.
Really?
Right there on 22nd from, I'd say, Wilmot, just east of Craycroft on 22nd. And my mom was in that building as a lawyer for 20 years after that.
Huh.
And so you can't wear East Siders all the way. But anyway, my grandfather was a big proponent of fluoride in the water. He didn't feel that fluorine would cause significant health risks. He definitely thought the payoff for having healthier teeth, it was a great prevention piece. And so there's been studies that say it's dangerous. There's other studies that say it's very minorly dangerous. Excuse me, very a minuscule amount of risk is taken. There's other studies that say it's completely harmless. But either way, whichever way you look at it, people get very, very, very concerned when chemicals are found in waters. And so you have to be the number one thing we have to do is maintain that our water quality will be pure and high and at the highest standard. And so we check wells every month. We check or every week. We check, you know, even if it's 0.001 parts per billion within, it's below federal standards, we still report it. We have a guy named Jeff Biggs who used to be the water director, and he stayed on as water when he moved out of being interim director, who is absolutely wonderful at being just militant in any time there's detection of any type of possible contamination of water. He is so careful and so meticulous about shutting off the proper wells and ensuring that not even possibly tainted water gets delivered to any of our customers. And I think that we do our best on that. I'm not going to say that we're a perfect water company, but I will definitely say that I trust the people who are involved in that. And that's probably why that fluoride question can be had. But I'd rather consult with Jeff and his team to make sure it wouldn't risk how we're cleaning our water and how we're delivering pure water. And that's probably the number one reason why it hasn't moved forward as fast.
But there is some fluoride in our water, correct?
I think there is naturally occurring fluoride, but I don't think we're artificially putting it in.
Okay, it's naturally occurring fluoride in our water, but we're not adding it, I guess, to it. Okay,
I don't think so. We used to, I think, a little more. I don't think we do now.
Okay. Did you go to your grandfather then growing up for your dental needs?
Up until I was about 15, 14. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he got a little older and a bit of a palsy, where he shook a little bit, and he didn't really want to get out of the chair. My mom did not want to. He did not want to retire from being a dentist, and at some point he had to. But he was a wonderful dentist. He was kind of known as the holistic dentist of Tucson.
Yeah.
He always had he'd use the new types of organic plaster and stuff on teeth, and so, you know, he was a very scientific. My grandfather had a very scientific and analytically scientific mind. He was always reading and sending me scientific articles about anything from geology to rockets to whatever. And I think I was the only kid in my eighth grade class who had a subscription to Scientific American, because my grandfather made sure it got delivered to us every month.
Okay, sports question. What's this about here about we will get a team of arena football? Now, is this like they have the Rattlers or whatever they are up in?
This is going to be the same league, apparently.
It is?
Because the Rattlers are moving leagues. And they're expanding into a league that has a Tucson, that's going to have this Tucson franchise, apparently.
Hmm.
Now, again, I'm not as huge. You know, everybody knows I'm a big sports fan. I'm not the biggest follower of arena football. I've been to a couple games over my lifetime. I remember when the Rattlers first started in Phoenix about in 1993, 1994. The one thing I didn't really get super turned on with the Rattlers, because they're best coach and owner was Danny White, who was an ASU star, so that was very hard. But, you know, from what I understand, Danny White's a great guy, and they built this franchise. And so the new owner, Mr. Guy, has come down and says, you know, the rules in our new league allows the roof at the Tucson Convention Center is high enough for us to play, and in the old league it wouldn't have been high enough, and we can put a team here. We think it's a good market. So We said, hey, look, that's fine, but we had somebody come in during the recession to try to do it, and the team kind of folded within a week.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really want to get in, and they were nice enough guys. They were really nice guys. I remember meeting with them, and I was really excited because we really needed the revenue for Tucson Convention Center, and they just weren't yet ready, and I think their investors kind of got a little spooked by the Great Recession coming on, so they pulled it. So this time, I really wanted to be sure, and so this person, the Mr. Guy, has owned an arena football team for 7 or 8 years. And the other thing we said is we didn't want to take any risk. So our contract is structured with very minimal risk. It's basically almost a standard, you know, paint-by-numbers deal that we give to the Roadrunners, our hockey franchise. And so and basically what it means is we get 7 extra nights where we're guaranteed about $50,000 into the arena just to cover our expenses, and then we get to split another, hopefully, $100,000 to $200,000 in concession money. And and we take no risk on that. So
okay.
I think it's a good deal for Tucson, and it's a good deal for the Convention Center Enterprise.
Okay, I know you need to get back to class, and we need to wrap it up. Paul Cunningham, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Paul Cunningham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Mike Shaw's show is from 4 to 6. Ray Allen helping out. Wake up Tucson 6 to 9 tomorrow morning. And our Friday Focus interview tomorrow, we're going to take a deep dive into everything you need to know about Arizona's primary. That's coming up on Buckmaster at 12:04. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.